This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is his time to shine, and I know you're going to hear his voice on Sports Radio 929 The Game a lot over the next 4 to 6 weeks, but you heard it first with me on Time Out with Eric Slaughter, and that is the one and only Deshaun Tate of Tate's Takes Hoops here. Deshaun, my man, congratulations and welcome back to Sports Radio 929 The Game. First off, how you feeling on this daylight saving Sunday afternoon?
I was just talking, first of all, thanks for having me on. I was just telling your producer, he asked me the same question. How am I feeling? Is that a trick question? Like, I ain't know. I've only waited 11 months at this point to get here, but you were talking about singing and this and that and the other. First of all, you congratulated me. I didn't do a single thing, so I don't know what you congratulate me for.
I'll tell you what I'm congratulating you for. Go ahead. I can only assume.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, speaking of singing, dude, like, you can hear the carols and the, you know, you always know that when you hear one person's voice, right, that you know it's Christmas time. Mariah Carey, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing the Mariah Careys right now. That can only mean that it's March and that it's Christmas in the Tate residence.
There it is. Deshaun Tate joins us on Sports Radio 9th Game. You can follow him on the Twitter and the X at Tate Takes Hoops. And I'm congratulating him because his team, the old Spartans of Michigan State, took down their rival today, University of Michigan, and finished in first place in the Big Ten. Tom Izzo, who's been in the news all year, got a big career-type win early in the year. Were they predicted to win this Big Ten regular season like they did?
Absolutely not. I think they were expected to finish. I think someone had them at best maybe fourth. Wow. I heard quite a few people about, around fifth, somewhere right up in that range. But, no, I mean, it's typical Sparty, and these are the typical teams that, you know, Tom Izzo usually puts out there and overachieves with and is successful. When you start looking at filling out that bracket, by no means, by the way, I'm not saying Michigan State going to win the whole thing, but this can be a little bit of help, maybe like a free space on the bingo card, as I like to call it. When you start getting ready to fill out those brackets and getting down to this point of the season, it's about some of those Hall of Fame coaches, those big name coaches, and about the depth, you know, with Michigan State obviously going very deep into the bench and experienced guards and things of that nature. So that kind of helps you out with your bracket just a little bit when you start focusing on who, you know, got the chances of going on and advancing and so forth. Some of those more experienced teams, if you will, are the ones that are typically cutting down nets. But no, big win for Michigan State, obviously, but there's still a lot more work to do for Michigan State as there is for some other teams as well.
All right, we're going to talk about some of those other teams as I have you here for the next 10, 12 minutes or so. We're going to break down the world of college basketball as we are exactly pretty much 1 week to the actual minute away from the brackets being released this time next Sunday, right about this 6:30 hour. We should know who the top teams are. You can start filling them out, start making your wagers, and start getting your cough ready. Boss, I can't come to work on Thursday because I'm going to spend all day watching college basketball, one of the best 2 weeks there is, the first 2 weeks of the NCAA tournament. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and you can give me your big thoughts on some of these teams. Let's go up to New York, where Rick Pitino, all 70-whatever years he has the St. John's Red Men, Red Storm, whatever you call them these days, just playing some of the best basketball in all of college basketball. They've won like 19 of their last 20. One of the only teams to beat them this year was the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, what is going on up there with the St. John Red Storm?
Yeah, I think you got to start out with the elephant in the room, Rick Pitino, right, taking yet another team to the NCAA tournament. We've seen it multiple times. I think we saw it over at Boston U with the Terriers. I think we've seen it at Providence when he was coaching Billy Donovan, and
Friars,
obviously,
man.
Louisville, Kentucky. He took Iona a couple years ago to the NCAA tournament. Now going to take St. John's, who I would anticipate would be a two seed around this time next week. But obviously playing very well on both sides of the ball, especially on the defensive side. We know that that's primarily what he's known for. But when you got a guy like R.J. Lewis, who's going to be up for a conference player of the year in the Big East, you get a transfer out of Syracuse named Kaderi Richmond, who's good. He's got a lot of size and some potential to go with him. And then we can't leave out a guy who's currently injured, but fully anticipate him coming back relatively soon because he is from Georgia, Grayson High School, that is. Davon Smith, who's had jumped around from to some different teams and what have you, Georgia Tech being one of them for a small stint, but he is one of the more athletic, experienced guards that is easy to root for, especially if you're from around this market. Davion Smith has done some really, really good things for the Red Storm.
All right. You hear that knowledge, ladies and gentlemen? That knowledge only comes from one college basketball source, and that is my man Deshaun Tate joining us right now on the WadeFor.com hotline. Let's go back here local. I brought it up in the last segment. I wanted to get your opinion. Coach Mike White says in his post-game press conference yesterday after the Georgia Bulldogs beat the Vanderbilt Commodores, win their fourth straight game to finish the regular season, that he believes they've already done enough to get in. Then they will face Oklahoma on Wednesday in the first round. If they can take down Oklahoma, they'll face Kentucky in the second round. But I'm asking you, do they need to win a game in Nashville, or should the Georgia Bulldogs get an invitation to?
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The dance.
I don't think that they're a lock for the dance. I think that if you're Mike White, those are things that you're supposed to say. Outside of that, I think that they have helped themselves within the court over the course of the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, to solidify themselves to hearing their name called next Sunday. But by doing more work, obviously, you know who's up next. You got Oklahoma, who's also on the bubble. That could likely be a situation where, you know, the winner moves on and still has a little bit more work to do. You have to have the mentality that even if you do win that game, which is I feel like the loser is automatically not getting in, but you have to have the mentality that you are not automatically in if you do win that game and that you still have more work to do. So give credit to Georgia, man, for, you know, being a team that is playing within, you know, the toughest conference in the country. Obviously, one of the best players in the country. Not only that, he's also a freshman, Ace Newell. On top of that, big man in the middle for them has been really good for them all year long. And Georgia's definitely taking some steps. Are they baby steps? Sure, that's fine. But to get to where they want to be and to be competitive first within your own conference, I think that you have to be able to do some of the things that we've seen them do as of this year. And so you got to give some credit to Georgia because they all year long, they have been one of those teams that, you know, just walking right in there, whether they're in Athens or whether they're on the road, you know that you're not just going to be able to just, you know.
They're going to give you a tough contest. Yeah, day in
for
and day
sure.
out.
No question.
Continuing in the SEC, so number one, Auburn goes down on the road. I'm sorry, at home. Alabama goes into their house, I believe, and takes them down. Loses at home. Yeah, they lost at home, Alabama. They had beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa a few weeks back. But the SEC is just going to be a gauntlet. Are we going to hear 10 teams called out of SEC? Is that asking too much? What do you think?
I don't know. I think, you know, 10, I think, is likely. I think that's very likely. I'm hearing some people going all the way up to, like, 15, which I think is a stretch. I think somewhere between 10 and 12 is the most realistic thing, only because you have some of these teams, like your Vanderbilts, like your Georgias, like your Oklahomas, that are right there on the bubble. All three of those teams cannot win the conference tournament. All three of those teams won't make it to the conference tournament championship game, obviously. And you also have to automatically assume that there are going to be some bid stealers, as there is every year, where the best team in whatever conference, right, insert conference here, that and not every team is going to win their conference tournament. And some teams that aren't thought of are just going to come out of nowhere, and they're going to burst the bubbles of one of these, you know, Vandys or Georgias and so forth. So, you know, I think that's probably the main thing is that, again, having that mentality that our bubble could be burst at any point, one game at a time, and just try to keep on advancing in this conference tournament is going to be the name of the game for a team like Georgia and some of the others in the SEC.
You know, Deshaun, I was doing my notes, and I was going to ask you a question. And I was looking at several of these conferences. I know the Big Ten does it now, and the ACC. I was surprised to see all these conferences now have 20 regular season conference games. It just seems like so much. And then when I look at what I'm about to ask you next, the fact that Duke went 19-1 in ACC conference play. I mean, I'm an ACC guy. I mean, my Maryland Terps are now part of the Big Ten. You know a little bit about that. But to see a team go 19-1 in conference play, does that say more about Duke being just so dominant and they'll probably be number one this time tomorrow for the first time of the year, or is the ACC down this year?
Combination of both. I don't think you can say such things without mentioning how good Duke has been. You're not just rolling out of the bed and you've got Duke across your chest, and there don't even have to be 18 teams that's in your or 20 games lined up, and it feels like 18 teams within your conference to know that that's the game that everybody's going to have circled on their calendar, not because of just Cooper Flagg, who's going to be number one in the draft in June, but also because it's just Duke, and that's what Duke does. That one game that they lost, I can tell you right now, that's the one that I want to see for the conference tournament championship, the one against Clemson. I think everybody's talking about Duke, and if I'm Clemson, I'm loving that because nobody's talking about the team that's returning a good portion of their roster that's returning from an Elite Eight run on last year. So, Duke went on a run to the Elite Eight last year as well. So I think ultimately, you know, that you got to give credit to Duke. You got to mention that Duke earned it. And did it the hard way. You know what I mean? They only lost one game within the conference, but you also do have to mention, you know, that the ACC is having a relatively down year. Louisville is still a pretty good threat. I like to think maybe not as much in March Madness, but certainly for this conference tournament, they can come out of nowhere and win. And, you got some other teams that are mediocre and that also want to, you know, North Carolina's on the bubble themselves. They know what they had to do last night. They didn't do it. And they know that the road to get to that point of hearing their names called is going to be, you know, just that difficult of a task to kind of climb. So I'm sure that they want to see if they can meet up with Duke again in the title game, too. So we'll see. We'll see.
Couple more minutes here with Deshaun Tape on timeout with Eric Slaughter. You're joining us. He is joining us on WadeFord.com hotline. I got a couple more questions here on a lineup for him. So the mid-majors are mostly getting their tournaments done between now and Wednesday before the big tournaments take over. Any mid-major that we can really keep an eye on this year? Anybody that you say, they got what it takes. They got a senior-laden lineup or a really good coach like they do over there at St. Mary's or Gonzaga with Mark Few. Any mid-major that we can say, yeah, I can see them punching their ticket to San Antonio. We're going to the San Antonio this year.
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously. I think that, definitely got to take a look over there at Will Wade and what he's doing over at McNeese State. I think that they have a good enough team to be able to win a game in the NCAA tournament. I mentioned them on last year. They weren't able to get it done, and they weren't the only ones. I think a team, we were talking about Patino. stick with them. Pitino talking about his son, Richard Pitino, that's there in New Mexico, got one of the better guards in the country named Donovan Dent, excuse me. And I think that they have a really good chance to be able to make some noise too. They're not a mid-major. They're more like a high major. They're not quite power five, but I think they're fitting for that conversation. And then you know, I feel like you really have to mention Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon has had a good team the last few years, haven't been able to win a game, but they're, you know, returning some pieces to that team as well. So I think it's important to keep Grand Canyon in mind. And there's definitely a few others. But I do think that one to keep an eye on maybe is VCU, who has made a run. It's been a while, but has made a run in the NCAA tournament, getting all the way back, you know, getting to the Final Four in 2011. That Atlantic 10 conference, I can tell you right now, is really going to be one to see, because they've got so many really good teams in that conference that I think could potentially come out of there and represent. You know, when you start looking at teams like VCU, George Mason is pretty good. We saw them do it before. Dayton is not bad. Loyola Chicago, last time we were in San Antonio for this thing in 2018, we saw them. And then the last team is St. Joe's as well, who's been making some noise within the conference. So if there's one particular conference tournament that's not in the Power Five that I'm going to be trying to keep an eye out for, it's probably going to be the Atlantic 10, because somebody can really do some damage and make some noise and bust up some people's brackets, whoever wins that conference tournament, assuming it would be maybe one of those four or five teams.
I'm going to say it again. This kind of knowledge only comes from the brain of one guy, the guru of college sports, and he's a part of the family of here, Sports Radio 929 The Game. That's Deshaun Tate. Now, Deshaun, before I let you go, I'm going to change it up on you just a little bit. I know the men's game is where your heart is, but I know you can speak very eloquently about what's going on in the girls' game. And just, I said it to Dom earlier, I mean, 9 out of the last 11 SEC tournaments go to South Carolina. 3 of the last 5 national championships go to South Carolina. What Dawn Staley is doing over there, I mean, give me a good minute on just the dominance that she's got going over in Columbia, South Carolina.
I'll say this much, right? I will never pretend to be this person that will speak on things that I'm not as familiar with. I guess I better get familiar with the girls' game a little bit more. I've only got 360-something teams on the men's side to keep up with. But now having a daughter, I guess I better start watching. But just in regards to what Staley has been able to do, I think obviously it's been phenomenal. I love the culture that she's not only built there, but also being a person that attends many of the athletic, you know, games that they have within their athletics program in general, no matter the sport, and how she supports. And listen, when you're playing South Carolina, you've got a big target on your back too. And she doesn't mind being very vocal when they go out there and win basketball games and championships. So I know that, you know, you got some UCLAs. I know you got some USCs. I know that you got some Notre Dames and Texas and some other teams as well. I just love the what they've done lately with the girls game in terms of promoting it, getting more eyes and ears on it as well, more people talking about it. Staley has done obviously a good job, and she's not the only one, but I think for the way that she's kind of spearheaded some things within this girls game, or got it back to where it was at one point in time, where I do think it was a little bit more respectable. I think that that's good, especially here on the collegiate level.
Well, Deshaun, I had to throw that curveball at you, and I appreciate it. You still knocked it out the park. Don't worry. And I'll tell you how much the girls' game has grown. I'll tell you how much. 92.9 The Game will not only have the men's Final Four live on 92.9 The Game, we will also have the women's Final Four live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I know you'll be tuned in to every second. My friend, appreciate it. And you know that your phone's been ringing a lot from the producers here over the next few 4, 5, 6 weeks.
Hey, I just appreciate you guys for having me. Blessings and prosperity. Go, Mark.